And a lot of people are kind of just missing out on this gold mine of an opportunity that the internet offers you.
This is the skill to build other skills.
Exactly. Yeah. What is the most efficient option of those skills to pick? The
problem there's so many.
Yeah, there's so many. And you're never going to know which one is the best until you act on it.
How would you go about finding what skill to even pursue?
I think the first evaluation is just a self-evaluation about knowing what your strengths are as a person.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bros Think Big podcast. This is the show where we talk about the simple and yet complicated ideas of self-improvement. Tune in and join us as we become the best versions of ourselves just so that you guys can too. And always remember to like and subscribe for more. Tonight, we just finally hit 1,000 subscribers and we want to give a huge thank you to each and every single one of you. We couldn't have done it without you guys. You guys are our inspiration. You guys are who we do this for. And we cannot wait for you guys to watch us grow in the near future. And in case you haven't told, we obviously leveled up our setup. All right, we become what, level like 10 guild members now.
How do I sound?
Probably better. Hopefully better.
Crispy. You sound crisp.
Try now. Talk now.
I can't talk.
That's what I'm gonna do the whole episode. But yeah, once again, huge thank you guys. Today we're gonna be talking about what we would do if we were starting entrepreneurship again, and what skills we would stack, and the importance of stacking these skills in the first place. Right. So, when it comes to the online media space, right? The money, internet money, Wi-Fi money, whatever, right? There's a lot of young kids out there right now wanting to get into some sort of business model so that they can escape the 9-to-5 rat race. And the only way you can really approach this is through leveraging some sort of skill, right? Whatever, like you guys have your detailing skills, Josh has his web development skills, Mike has his coaching skills, I have my trading skills. It's just leveraging some sort of skill. And a lot of people get stuck trying to figure out what skill to even go to first, but they don't understand the importance that while you're young, while you have this time, you don't need to just stick to one skill. You can stack multiple, right? Because, you know, it's practically like you building your online resume in a way, right? And that's far more important in my opinion right now than having a paper resume that says, yeah, I worked at fucking Dairy Queen for 3 years and like, yeah. Now what, right? So skill stacking is going to be one of the most valuable things you can do in undoubtedly in my mind as a young person right now. And a lot of people are kind of just missing out on this gold mine of an opportunity that the internet offers you, because the best part about all these skills is that you can essentially learn them all for free, right? And there's different ways you can tackle this. You can just go on YouTube University, search up these skills, figure out what you want to do, whatever, and you'll find a lot of that. Or you can speed run your process, find a mentor, pay a heftier price, and then get results quicker, right? There's just a lot. The whole point is there is information everywhere and it's endless. So you have to be taking advantage of this opportunity. Like years ago, before the internet was even a thing, before social media existed, if I wanted to become an accountant for some reason, I would have to go to college, get a degree, and that's the only way I'd be certified, right? But now there's accountants on YouTube that are willing to teach all of this shit for free just because for the fucking fun of it, right? So take advantage of this gold mine.
But would they hire you without a degree? Accounting? Unless you're probably like
you'd have to have such like such an insane understanding of accounting and yeah, so like you're realistically you're right, you it won't be,
and then somebody has to give you a chance for you to show that in the first place.
True.
So it's like, but there are some things that you just might not be able to do it, that's do it true. With, but there are some that you can.
I can confidently say though, I think if you stuck to, like, YouTube University accounting, you'd probably be better at it.
Yeah.
Not like this is hypotheticals, of course, but if you strictly stuck to that, you'd probably be better than at the guy that did go to the 4-year university, because the guy at the 4-year university isn't getting thrown like English class, all these gen eds or whatever. That's just something to take into account, right? But at the end of the day, it's not really what you know, it's more so who you know, right? Yeah, there's that saying a lot, which I don't necessarily agree with too much, but it's kind of the unfortunate reality, right?
It depends like where you apply that. That concept,
true,
you know?
True, and that's actually going to be one of the skills we mention later, in a way, so you're going to have to stay in tune for that. Yeah, I forgot to mention that we're going to be talking about the three skills we would actually begin, or we would focus on the most if we were to go on this journey again. So, Josh, you were the one that wanted us to talk about this topic. Is there any particular reason?
I mean, I stated it beforehand, but I'll state it, of course, again, which is this came from another mentor of mine, funny enough, but Alex Hormozi is a big proponent, believer in this, which is there's that question that he gets through his comments frequently. I don't know as much anymore, but when he first started getting big, which was, what business should I pursue at first? And he always emphasized, especially because his audience is a lot of young people around our age, that he would recommend starting a service business. And I couldn't agree
1,000%
anymore, because essentially when you deal with products, and I'm absolutely not here to say that it's a bad idea and that you shouldn't pursue it, but you're not going to gain as much experience and as much value out of it when you come out of it. And that's not the right way to put it, but I'll put it in a better perspective. Is the reality is most businesses fail, and that's the truth in life. And no matter how much you think you're an exception, it's going to happen eventually, whether it be your first business or your fifth. And if you were to fail a business and it turned out to be a product-based business, you're not going to gain as much skills or as much value out of it than if you were to fail at a service business. And what do I mean? When it comes to service businesses, there's so many tiny little assets that come with the skill of learning how to run a business. For example, you are a car detailing. Yeah. It's not just about detailing the car that it is so vital in life.
Yeah.
It's the idea of figuring out how to create leads, how to manage them, how to bring client retention, exactly. How to keep them for longer. Exactly. And there's so many other little pieces. And that's not to be said that in a product business, it's not the same, but it's nowhere near as valuable. And let's say your detailing business fails, you still have those core skills that will never leave your life.
Exactly.
Yeah. I disagree. When it comes to, I agree with the whole service thing, right? But it depends on the business model you're approaching. Because when it comes to selling a product or whatever, you still have to learn consumer psychology. You still have to learn lead generation. You still have to learn advertising. Almost any skill that you can apply to detailing, you can apply to me selling like glasses online, right?
Almost. That's a big catch.
Almost, yes, of course. If I were why I believe that service is the way better is what you were talking about earlier. Like when you're young, when it comes to a service-based business, you're just selling your time for something else, essentially. You're leveraging your skill. So in Sadula's scenario where he services car detailing, he's selling his time to go out and detail another car because that's the skill he acquired, right? But for a product, it's different. You're selling a literal product. Not necessarily like something that you could like hold in your hands more often than not, or maybe it's a digital product, whatever. Like you get the idea, right? So the problem with that is there's two factors that I like to play into this. And if it's when it comes to a product business, you have to be willing to invest a lot more money than you will in a service-based business. And the problem with that is a lot of young people that are ranging from the ages like 15 to 25 don't have a lot of capital to invest. What can you invest instead of money? Your time, because you're young. You have so many years ahead of you, like you mentioned earlier, right? So it's a lot more understandable of you to be willing to invest more, all of your time into some sort of skill, learn how to leverage that out, and then go from there. So there's like that. Those are my big factors. It's that it's not necessarily in terms of financially friendly, it's way better to go for the skill. And you're young. I don't know how many young kids can just grab 50K and just throw it into a product, right? I even made a whole video about this, and I kind of forget the key points, to be honest, but Godzi has a whole video on it, and it's really good why you should be starting a service business. It's also experience, right? What you were talking about earlier with how with a service-based business, there's a lot more little things. The bigger things in the product-based business are more important than the bigger things in the service-based business, in a way that consumer psychology in the product-based business, I would argue, is a lot more important than consumer psychology in the service-based business. Because in the service-based business, you really want to be focusing a lot of your time into service delivery, making sure that your clients are happy or whatever, right? But when it comes to the product, your clients kind of already know what you're going for. So instead, just figure out who you're marketing to. Like, there's a whole bunch of factors into it. And I can even link the video in the description, which is by Godzi, which was wonderful in this thing. But yeah, essentially, I don't want to get carried off too far from the topic. It's just the idea that when you're younger, you have so much more time to invest than money. And that comes through you taking months, days, hours, years even out of your life to learn that skill and then learn to leverage it. There's a whole thing going on right now with online course sellers or scammers or whatever. And to a degree, yes, they very well could be, right? But the idea is it's not a scam. If you pick up a skill and you learn to leverage that skill to millions of other people, that's just a business model, right? Yeah. It just depends on how you go about it. So that's, if you can learn about these skills, like what Mike's doing, consulting, that itself is a huge fucking skill that a lot of people are willing to pay for. The idea is you want to like invest your fucking time into this. Now, people understand why skills are important. All right, like your day-to-day life operates on the things that you're skillful at, essentially. Obviously, like, or things that you want to attain that you can be more skillful at. So people, I don't want to spend too much time talking about why you should attain skills or whatever like that. Let's try and like look at how you can attain skills. Or what was the question you brought up earlier?
Before you did, I wanted to disagree, but you decided to speak for 4 straight minutes. But let's continue.
What do you want to disagree on?
Well, I did. I just forgot because you talked for 4 minutes.
My fault then. Somehow. If it comes up later, just say it out loud. I wanted to talk about not why, but how can you actually go about attaining these skills in the first place?
Oh, no. Mike's question was about how to find which skill to pursue.
Before the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. I assume, like, how would you go about finding what skill to even pursue?
I think the first evaluation is just a self-evaluation about knowing what your strengths are as a person. Now, that doesn't mean to not pursue the weaknesses as well, but if you figure out that you're, let's say, a very outgoing person, go to skills that are more favored towards those type of characteristics. Now, with that being said, I'm not saying only to go down that direction, but why wouldn't you play with your strengths? Exactly. Why not start there? That's the first. That would be my first step. Just self-evaluation.
Right.
I think how I look at it is if you have like a goal in mind, like a long-term vision of what you want your work to look like, you then trickle down to, okay, what do I have to learn now in order to, you mean, work X type of job? You know what I'm trying to say here? Like, if, for example, if long-term I want to work in high-ticket mentorship, right? Something like that, high-ticket one-to-one mentorship, that's what I want to build long-term. The skills I got to learn now is consulting. What I got to learn now is just learn, just educate myself. Any skill that just has to start building up towards the long-term vision of what I want my work to really look like.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to add on that, which is I would focus on skills that last the eternity of time. Because let's say I worked on the skill of copywriting right now. Chances are you never know what can happen in the future, but that's not the greatest skill to pursue. Rather, for example, I think the greatest skill that we didn't even mention that's not going to be in it is storytelling, which is a good friend, a podcast I listened to, this guy said, which is the biggest skill, which is, I absolutely agree, is if you can't convince someone towards the mission that you're going towards, you're beat from the start. Like, honestly, you're beat.
Is this from the guy I showed you, Brett?
No, Scott Galloway.
Oh, he has a different one. Okay. No? He has a similar video.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If you can't articulate your thoughts, you could have the greatest idea in the world, but if you can't portray it in the right manner, what does it mean?
It gets lost.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can have a great product, but if people can't understand what makes your product great, what can you do about it?
Well, I think it's just communicating right.
Storytelling is a whole different... That's a whole... I don't know how to necessarily explain it, but I was using that as just an example of no matter what happens in the future, storytelling will still exist. So marketing has lasted the eternity of time. You would want to have skills in the marketing field. Storytelling. I'm blanking on a couple.
When you say storytelling, like in business, what are you like referring to? I kind of see where you're going in this like direction, but when you say storytelling in a business, like,
don't you think that's what you really tell you? It's almost likable for content creators, or like, yes, people going to conferences and shit like that, but that's a little like different. I feel like this is really something that's only applicable to content creators.
No, I want to say so.
If you're a salesman, for example, and you want to convince somebody to buy your product, right? You're going to tell them a story about it, and they're going to get interested into whatever you're selling them, right?
Wouldn't that just be selling?
But it's a different, it's a specific technique in selling.
Okay. Right. I mean, how many people?
So then maybe we should dive
how many people later. Have great products, but they can't articulate what makes their product so great?
Yeah.
What?
Why do so many businesses think that they have such a great product, but it never goes anywhere?
But wouldn't is even that let's say it is a great is product, that just being articulate.
No, it's a different ball game. Articulate is definitely part of storytelling. Absolutely. Which is you have to be articulate in order to be a good storyteller. But it's the way you, it's how you orient sentences. It's not.
That's being articulate.
Is that?
Yeah, that's what
articulate is. What does articulate mean?
Speaking clearly.
Well, speaking clearly is different than how you format your sentences, which is deciding which sentence to put first. In the matter of a sequence.
So he's talking about where you start and how do you end it.
Yeah, I hear basically. What you're saying.
Because sometimes when you tell a story and the story is so complicated, you go all over the place and then at the end they go like, wait, slow down, what just happened?
Yeah.
But there are some people that, like, dude, they don't even leave any details out and they, sometimes they do like add some details, but the details they add is so important that it gets you like, locked in.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And another way to put it is people, when they're focusing on trying to sell their service to somebody, they focus on talking about the benefits of the product rather than the benefits to the person that the product will give them. People don't care about what the product is. And I'm going to give you the example of a website. People don't care about the back end of the website. People care about, will this get me more leads? And people decide to talk about how they create a new chat widget for their website, not this is going to create more conversions. And that's part of storytelling.
Yeah, by no means am I trying to deny like how important that is, especially when you tie in personal experiences, because that's also a great selling point right there too. I fumbled the definition of being articulate. It's not just speaking clearly. There's more also of like
articulating kind of like, the thoughts properly, you know, thinking in a deeper
and
thoughts.
That leads to you organizing story in the right way, but regardless, yeah,
two different things.
We'll see, we'll have to search it up.
not that different.
Yeah, I feel like if you're asking me why, like, how do I go about finding this skill, I feel like it's just a too simple two step process, like what Josh was talking about earlier. The step one, self evaluation, what am I interested in, what are the skills I can align with that, and then the second step is just to take action, like, there's nothing else to it. Like, you're far better off taking the action like off the get-go by learning a little bit, like no more than like 1 to 3 months or essentially, and then just taking the action. Because if you spend too much time on one skill that isn't really like high leverage or isn't so high high value, then you can kind of just send yourself in the wrong direction and kind of like prioritize your time differently, essentially, because that time, of course, you're never going to be able to get back. I like to believe that it's just simply as like you learn the skill and you take action on it, because what's going to happen is you're going to consistently, you're going to self-evaluate and you're going to be like, okay, I'm a human being. We're all human beings. We all have multiple interests, right? So then there's going to be a lot of skills that pop up. What I'm trying to say that I wish I could have articulated better is that you shouldn't spend too much time thinking about what skill you're going to pick. Because what happens then is this is when paralysis analysis shows up, right? And then you lack clarity as to what skill you should pick, because you want to know what is the most sufficient option of those skills to pick. The problem
there's
is
so many.
Yeah, there's so many. And you're never going to know which one is the best until you act on it, right? Exactly. Like, it's just whichever one plays out. So what is the point in you consistently questioning, holding yourself back, but like just sitting still, not actually taking the step forward, when you're not going to like progress forward, essentially? Like, you're the only way to find clarity is to actually do the thing. It's just taking action.
Yeah. So, I mean, like we wrote down the first skill, sales, right? I mean, this is the type of skill. What?
Spoiler alert. It's okay.
Oh, wait, we weren't going to.
No. I mean, it's about time we talk about it. It's been mentioned. Okay.
I just want to mention, I remember what I wanted to disagree with from the beginning.
Well, first, let's do the definition, then.
Let's do
it. No, wait, I don't get it. Weren't we supposed to go through the skills that we
we are. I thought we were going to say that later for that, but...
Oh, when were you guys planning on...
I was
just going to say, I mean...
Why don't you tell your story first, and then you
can... Yeah, sure.
So you can...
Again, disagreement.
You can build a great product
right? So you have, I'm going to give you a scenario, right? One person builds a product, and this product is going to be a AI chatbot that can is really good at copywriting. The other person learns the skill of copywriting in himself. Now, with the reality of life, shit happens. ChatGPT is invented. We're going to play the timeline before ChatGPT. And now the copywriting in itself is gone. Which person of the two, they're both young people, benefits more?
Between the person using ChatGPT and the one not?
And benefits is not the right word, but let's say ChatGPT comes into play and takes out both businesses. Who, which person came out with more? The person that just developed a product that went to shit, and it's not his fault, just how the world plays out, or the person that didn't build a product, but rather had to learn the service of how to sell copywriting to another person, having to get clients, having to maintain those clients for long-term. Do you understand what
so
I'm saying?
So you're comparing copywriting to some failed product, right? Essentially, right?
Comparing a skill to a product business.
Yeah. So
a product business versus skill business.
Mm-hmm. So you come out and you know copywriting, right? Which, if you're trying to ask me which one is better off, I don't see how it would really be the copywriter, because now that ChatGPT is going to fuck him. But
well, both are fucked. But who came out of it more?
Well, in this case, again, it's still not really the strongest point, because this guy's skill is copywriting, right? So
well,
he's not.
No.
Of course, there's little things
skill,
like,
but the business. He is a copywriting business.
Mm-hmm. So what about the guy's failed product where he had to study, again, innovation to actually build the product, communication with manufacturers about the product, development of the product itself, consumer psychology.
Oh, those are not skills.
How the fuck? How is communicating with a manufacturer, delivering the product out?
Delivering the product is not on his end.
What?
Delivering the product is not on his
end. Development of the product, that's a skill. Talking about consumer psychology, that's a skill. Advertising to the right group, that's a skill.
That's also for selling. The only one that was the development of the product.
They're all skills, Josh.
Yeah, but I'm saying the service business has every single skill you just mentioned except for development of the product.
So then wouldn't the failed product be better off? Because this one doesn't have the failed product.
Yeah, but it has. I'm saying that's the only skill missing on the product side.
My idea,
and then how many skills are missing on the? How do I?
The idea is that it's
the service business
dependent on
the business
model.
With the service business accumulated more skills coming out of it than
but
the product.
But you don't
business.
Know that it's dependent on the business. That's what I said
that's
at first.
That's generic.
That's the whole point. So you can't say a blank statement that service is better off.
Do you
than
not
product.
Accumulate
it's just depending
more
on
from a service business than a product business?
No, because if my service-based business is car detailing,
and that's
my,
your answer, then I know enough.
Well, let me explain my answer. Because if my service-based business is car detailing, and I'm selling a product like fucking like what's a failed product? Black. What's the?
Why does it have to be a failed product?
So like, I'm making this easier for your argument's sake, so that you can understand it better. Let's say I tried to sell my product is
a machine that cleans the car.
No, my product is going to be iPhone chargers. Let's say I sell that, right? And I go out and I sell this in my local retail store. Well, I'm not going to get enough sales. I'm not going to get a lot of sales, right? But if I go and I sell this at the airport, or if I go and I sell this at the train station where a lot of people forget things, that's my skill of learning consumer psychology and what consumers want, right? You have more, like, and this can serve me off better than the car detailer who just learned how to detail cars. Of course, with the idea of client acquisition, which is the same thing as client or as customer generation.
Is consumer psychology not in any service business?
It absolutely is not to the extent of a product-based business, though. And that's what I said earlier.
I don't know about that.
If I wanted to sell,
I guess it also depends.
Consumer
what kind of
psychology is all about target audience, and if you don't know your target audience in any business, you're fucked.
Consumer psychology isn't just.
Isn't just, but then what else is it that service business don't have?
Consumer psychology is knowing what your target wants, target audience, right? Knowing who they are.
Yes.
And then also.
Target audience.
Which we already said. And consumer psychology is also knowing where they want it, when they want it. All of the
and that's all applied in a service business.
I don't think to the extent of a thing, because as a service business, you cannot sell to 100 people, especially if you're the one delivering the skill. You can if you're outsourcing, but a product is different. You're thinking of a much grander scale. That's the whole idea of a product. You have to sell. For you to sell your $2,000 service, that's one thing that you have to do. But if I want to catch up that with $100, or if I'm selling a $100 product, I need 20 sells to even catch up to that, right? So I want the grand scale of who I'm selling to, right? I need to think bigger, essentially. I can sell a lot more products to you than you can service to me. Because you only have so much time. You can only car detail so many cars at once, right? Being one. Or unless you have a couple different employees, right? But then that I can apply the same factor that I can have so many more employees for the product business. And then I could ship out more products.
Yeah.
I just think that in the term of a grand scale, your consumer psychology is a lot larger off. Because if you're selling a product, unless it's super high ticket, and you're not thinking of the masses, then you're already kind of in the wrong business.
So he's really making a distinction between the product itself versus service, not in a way that whatever skills you have in a, let's say, service business or product business is not going to work in the other. He's just trying to say which one will work more in a product base, which is consumer psychology. Like he just said, let's say I were to detail how many cars a day, like four cars, as if I start very early. But when he's trying to say about like how many products you can just sell throughout the day, mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily have to be limited about time you can just deliver it to different countries, let's say, that type of thing. So he's trying to get at like the solution of the problem, let's say with a charger, which was great.
I still don't think that his argument is still in an
airport or a train station.
Because you essentially just find the target audience and you're just talking about location now, which is, it's the same target audience. Just now you're not just talking about Pennsylvania, you're talking about Arizona.
I send you the video and then you'll see it for yourself? I think that'll be the best way to go about this.
Okay.
That's why just like what I've been understanding, like based on this conversation, is really depends on the business.
Exactly.
And that's it really depends on where you're trying to go with it.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's my whole point.
It's like, what are you selling?
Exactly.
What kind of business do you have?
Yeah.
And what's the alternative?
That's why my whole point is it's dependent on the business model.
Exactly.
Not...
I'll watch a video.
What is it? Yeah.
I'll watch a video.
Yeah, do that.
I'll let you know.
Great. So where
don't
were
tell
we?
Me what to do.
So
don't tell me what to do.
I'm do what you want. I don't give a fuck.
Exactly. Not gonna lie, but this feels so new, like not holding a mic and just talking.
It does.
You say please.
I like
you
it better though.
Yeah,
I'm noticing that I fidget with my bracelets though.
You got your own mic over there.
Yeah.
Georgie's special, that's why.
You better say please.
To what?
You said do that.
I don't give a fuck. I'm not saying please to you.
That's a lot about his character, ladies and gents.
Do something about it.
There's nothing I'm gonna do. You humiliated yourself.
Yeah, that's completely fine.
Okay.
If that's what humiliation looks like.
Yeah.
So, Dula, what did you have to say earlier?
About sales?
Yeah.
I mean, I was just gonna say the reason why we kind of came up with sales and having that skill for sure is because, I mean, I've been noticing in a lot of things that we do, especially not just having our own businesses, but the podcast and everything, everything's just selling. You have to sell it yourself to even persuade people that you are the person for that specific thing. Like us sitting here and you know, let's say taking 2 hours of somebody's life, we're telling them, hey, like this 2 hours of your life is going to be worth what we're telling you. And if it's not, then they're going to go and watch somebody else for 2 hours and mm-hmm. get the knowledge from them. That type of thing. Say in my detailing, right? I have to kind of convince them and show them that it's better for them to spend the money and give me the money to me to get the job done on their car than somebody else. Same with you, right? They would rather pay you for the skill that they need rather than anybody else. In your case, the websites. It's just like, you know, it can go so many ways. I don't know how it would be with trading. Let's say you were at some point coaching somebody about trade. They would rather come to you, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. If anything that we do is really just sales, and that's why it's an important skill to have, because especially if you want to have a business, you're going to have to learn one way or another to sell that business or have a selling point.
Yeah, sales is one of those things that you do like almost regardless. Every moment of your life. It's just not something you acknowledge. Like even when you're young, and like I wanted to Like, me convincing my mom to buy me an Xbox. That's literally me selling her why she should buy me an Xbox. And that's even, like, even if my tactic is to, like, go into the store and cry like a little bitch until she buys it for me, that's me selling her to buy it. Like,
yeah, I'm like, in a way, like, yeah.
I'm like, Mom, I'm going to cry in this retail store, and that's I'm going to
embarrass...
That's
just being relentless. That's literally putting them on the spot, right? It's putting them on the spot.
It is, yeah, yeah, like... That's fucked up.
I think that's
yeah,
what salesmen like, do. They do that. Fucked up, they put you in the spot.
No, no, no. My example, crying in the store.
Hell no. That's you not got what you wanted.
In a fucked up way. Embarrassing my mom publicly is pretty fucked up just to get my mom, right?
But you got what you want.
Yeah. And you don't, like,
apparently that's what it matters, man.
Yeah. But like, that's the whole idea, right? Like, you're just... It's just one of those things you're doing constantly that you just have to acknowledge. Or when you when you go to your professor and you say, hey, I need you to round up my grade, you're going to sell them why they should even round it up in the first
place. Oh, I used to do that in school. This one teacher was giving me a C, and I was like, dude, I'm going to tell you a lot of reasons why you should give me a B. And I
would tell him, those are your reasons. That's Georgie's selling point.
Georgie puts his gi on or something.
Georgie's selling points are his fists.
I'll tell him, come on, bro, we're bros. I dabbed him up, and he's like, yeah, whatever, fine. I'll just give you. So I convinced him into something, yeah. So,
I remember one of the things that our personal trainer told me, I think it was Sam. He said one of the best ways to really promote yourself without necessarily having to go up to somebody in a gym when they see that you work there is obviously people are going to see you in a period of time wearing, let's say, that specific gym uniform, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then some other time they're going to see you working out there. Maybe you have a tank top, they see the muscle, all that kind of stuff. That's just credibility right there. You don't need to go up to that person. If anything, they will come up to you and say, hey, you're a personal trainer. You look amazing. I want to, you know, what's it called? Train with you or whatever. Like, these are some of the things that you can do from you putting yourself out there without necessarily having to go up to somebody. And especially now, you can do that in so many ways, like internet and social media ads and all that kind of stuff. So it's, I just wanted to bring that up. It's just... When you look at it from a perspective of business, it just you find so many ways on how to sell and how you really need sales.
Yeah,
as you sell.
That's
all the time.
That's just such a like beautiful thing to bring up, because the beautiful thing about sales is there's no one fit all strategy, right? It's literally just, I believe, Josh, you can quote me if I'm wrong, since you probably know sales here the best, but the best sales technique is the one that fits your personality, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Or the one that blends with like your way of style, right? So there, it's literally just sales is what fits you. It's what resonates with you. It's what you flow best in, right? Like, you don't have to try to put on some sort of act or go through some sort of script. What?
That's not the best sales technique.
Not, what is it?
Product knowledge.
Okay. I
think that's number one.
What is number two?
There's just so many things that
number one is knowledge.
It's very broad.
Well, if you can answer any single rebuttal about your product, what is there not to like?
Yeah, for sure.
How could you not be convinced if there was a rebuttal to every single objection you would make about a product?
Yeah, exactly.
But what if the product has a rebuttal that you can't answer? Like that you wouldn't know the answer to, but... Or that the answer doesn't exist, sorry.
I think if you being... The second one is being honest.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the second best technique, is being honest.
Yeah, and that's true.
So they kind of coexist. And then I would say the third one is, what is it? I lost it. I had it on top of my head. But it's definitely up there.
Yeah, it's maybe
believing
I'll say it like this, right?
That too.
What?
Like having...
Well, yeah, you can't sell... Oh, yeah. The other one is you cannot have a salesperson tag on you. And what I mean by that is you can't act like a salesperson. You have to act like yourself, which essentially is what you're talking about.
Yeah. Selling yourself first before you sell.
Yeah, if you don't believe in your product, you're fucked from the start.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You can't sell it. You can't sell it. Because if you can't convince yourself, how can you convince somebody else? Which is the same saying, how can you love somebody else if you can't even love yourself?
Yeah, and how can you convince somebody that you really are offering them a good service? It's like people can pick up on energy and the way you say and how you say
that's
things about your
true
business. And if they're like, this, I don't really feel like this guy believes that this is a good product.
Yeah,
you know
I can detail your car all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I might do a good job. I'm not sure if it's going to come out good because this is my first time doing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's that type of thing. You know what I mean?
It is.
Yeah, I'd say I do a good job. I mean, I guess we'll find out, right?
Yeah, like that type of stuff.
maybe a better way to rephrase it would be the best sales script is the one with your technique. Like, I can give this an example, because when we worked at Cutco, me and Josh used to work for at Cutco. This is a company that sells knives. If you guys are watching this, fuck you.
Damn.
I hate them. if you guys are, what's it called? Like, you would, like, they would give you the script and they would tell you not to follow. They would tell you to follow it at all costs. Don't break out your own personality, right? Just we gave you the script, just read it and you'll close the sale.
He said, don't do your personality.
Essentially, no, that's not true. They tell you to throw your personality in it, but when the sale, when the script is structured in a way where you barely can, how much personality can I really throw into it, right? And I just, right. I asked the guy himself. I was like, hey, can I have like a different script? Not because this one doesn't work, but this one, because this one's only selling to like my fucking family, essentially, right? Yeah. Like, it's just, it's a whole different thing. And the idea is that I heard someone say, I got this from Hormozy actually, where he says, you don't need a script to sell at all, right? That's something that he said.
Yeah, I really just don't think you need a script. Like, I mean, let's think about it. What is a script? Are you going to really sit down and write down a script? I mean, you can, but that can only work so much. I think a better way is to sit down with yourself and ask, like, you shouldn't overcomplicate it. I think you should just really sit down with yourself and say, okay, if I was the person buying this product, why would I buy it? Right? Mm-hmm. And how can I sell somebody this in a way that's going to really resonate with me as well?
Exactly.
Because when I'm talking to them, I'm pretty much telling them why, right? But yeah, that question has to be asked with me first when I come up love with a business that, saying, why do I want this business in the first place? And then when I tell that person why they should buy it, it's pretty much just answering myself as well as I'm telling them. So it really, you shouldn't overcomplicate it. Don't try to sell somebody something that, you know, when you would hear, you would say like, oh, I would never get this. It's like, why is this guy even selling me that? You know what I mean? You have to put yourself in that person's shoes.
Yeah.
And act according to that, if that makes sense.
Because it's hard to read the script or the framework word by word and then include your personality into it, right? Like, yeah, every now and then I can throw a smile. Exactly, because that I'm not the one that wrote that script, yeah, right?
So exactly.
I'm going to disagree here.
Let me hear it.
Well, I'm not going to disagree to the full extent, but yeah, I think absolutely, as a beginner, read the script. Do not alleviate.
Oh.
Because if you, yeah, and I think Cutco is a huge exception here because it's an in-person type of script. You would never read a script in person with someone. So your experience is one bad time. For example, I was talking to a guy who used to do telemarketing, and he had his own telemarketing business. I was actually very curious because I had your opinion as well, and he said, no, do not alleviate from the script. That's my number one.
Alleviate meaning don't go away from
it? Don't go away from it. Okay. Number one thing I implemented into my workers. Now, I don't fully agree with that. But I think for starters, if a script works, because you don't just make a script because I want to make a script. You use a script because it's worked in the past for other people who were beginners, or else that script wouldn't exist. Why would you not use it? Now, that's the start. Then, as time goes on, absolutely implement your own gravy into it. But for starters, why would you go away from what worked before?
Because what I like to, I'm still a little skeptical about it, because what if what worked before doesn't work with me? I'm sure it works with other people, but
it works for everyone, right?
But the question,
it works for most people or else it wouldn't exist, right? The script doesn't work for certain people. The script works for most people.
I just don't think that if I am constrained by the script and to not like alleviate it by any means, that it better suits me.
Do you think that as a starter, you should read a script first?
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's my point.
The script is where you,
that's my point.
Grab it. Yeah.
But then when you read the script, then it doesn't really like work with you. It's like when you're reading a script and you have to go up to somebody with that script. I'm not saying looking at the script.
You wouldn't read a script. No. Oh, okay.
No, I don't mean like really reading it. I mean like memorizing that script type of thing and having to tell somebody, and you don't even believe what the script says. I just don't see how you're able to do that unless you really like lie to somebody. So this is when you said I'm looking at it from a skeptical perspective. I am too. I feel like people that will tell you, or the person that you're working with tells you, you know what? Don't really put your personality to it. Just do what I tell you. I mean, do they really want you to be the best salesman, or do they just really want you to just kind of be the best worker? But it can also get complicated because you're working as a salesperson. What I'm trying to say here is that I think it's always better for you to, like, or even for the boss to be open to you having your own personality to it, because I feel like since we're all unique in our own ways, we can always find a way to put our uniqueness into the product. And as soon as we do that, there's just so many ways that open up to, you know, persuading somebody why to buy it. Like you coming up with an idea on how you can persuade somebody to get their car detailed might be very different from mine. But if I am able to combine that with you and get that idea from you, I'm pretty sure I can persuade somebody even more, because I just learned different unique side of persuading somebody into getting their car detailed from my own while implementing mine too.
The whole idea is that you just play by your own strengths. If I'm more charismatic, alleviate from the script a little bit to show that charisma.
Yeah.
If I'm more introverted, alleviate the script to put myself in a better situation that an introvert would perform in, right? Like, it's just the whole idea of playing by your strengths and weaknesses, in my opinion.
You really have to, and that really comes down to knowing yourself, right?
Exactly.
If you don't know that, how are you going to even know, what really resonates with me and how am I able to do it my own way? It's like, who are you? You know what I mean? You have to know that.
Exactly. True. Let's break down skill number two.
Networking.
Individuals, right?
Networking. Mike, you've been networking. What do you think?
Yeah, networking.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Networking.
I
know you do. The skill of networking. Oh, you want me to speak?
Sure. If you want.
Do you want to?
No, I don't. You got it.
All right. Well, yeah, coming into this, we were talking about, like, our most recent episode is being social and just having, like, a good understanding of communications. Not our most recent. The two episodes ago, once this comes out, is just having good communication skills. And there's a whole lot that goes into this, right? When I say networking, I mean understanding how to get yourself out there and also just knowing how to make connections as a whole, right? And there's a lot of things that tie into this, but the reality is that what we brought up mentioned, it's not necessarily what you know, it's who you know. There is a lot of truth to that sense, right? Sure. Because so many times have I heard people, like, in corporate jobs get hired because of, like, nepotism, or maybe even because of, like, I know my buddy and I'm going to hire him instead of the other person. Yeah, like, so there's a lot of, like, factors that play into this. But the idea is
you can't rely on that type of thing?
What?
Like, just knowing somebody without necessarily...
No, you definitely shouldn't rely on that. But, it's an XP boost, maybe. Or, like, it's a level up. It's a whole nother level up.
It is.
And you want to build your communication young for multiple reasons. One, because if you're young, you can find a lot of, like-minded people around you, because you're still in school, you're still in college, or maybe you're in, like, some sort of university or even some clubs and that thing. So you want to, like, take advantage of these things that have been presented to you. That's a huge factor that I think people don't really appreciate enough of, right? And when you find people that are like-minded to you, you can push each other, you can motivate each other, you can learn together and grow together and take action together, right? Like, there's so much... Like, joining a community is such a fundamental thing that I think any beginner should
join
get
the
into.
Guild.
Yeah, literally, actually, like, for real.
They can't, bro. It's private.
Would you open it up to them?
No.
Damn.
You have to wait for the next opening.
They have to sign up, right?
It's going
to
be a limited time event, so you got to be open and just wait around to see.
Y'all not
early access? That's no? Give them early access, Mikey. You're going to have to earn it, right, Mikey?
You have to earn it. You have to earn it. This guy's still trying to earn it.
If you write that code...
Dude, I mean, so this guy. These guys are trying to earn, I think.
Yeah.
These two.
When is the second purge?
The purge? I'm soon, man. I'm planning on it. Networking.
I haven't texted since the first purge once, so I might be...
You don't have a skill of networking, bro.
I might be on the chopping block. I'm not going to lie. Yeah,
but... One of the most significant networking advantages is how many times do you remember not knowing something and the only way you found out was through somebody else?
So many.
I mean, how many times has that happened?
Almost all the time.
What? Legitimately.
Almost all the time.
And that's only possible through networking. I mean, that benefit in itself
is how you communicate. That's how you just get anything in general.
Yes, but I'm thinking about more of, like, opportunity-wise, right? For example, I'll give you... I didn't know that Rocky Run existed. Now, I'm not sure if I'm going to pursue it, but I'm just using this example. It wasn't until my friend
that I would have never talked to unless I went out of my way to talk to him would have told me about it, and now I know, which I wouldn't have known beforehand. And that's another opportunity presented to me that I wouldn't have otherwise, because I wouldn't have known about it. Or you
would learn it, but it's not as
I mean, as humans, we don't know. It's impossible to know everything in this world. And that's why I do believe in everybody can literally help you out in some sort of way, can teach you something. Even the people on the spectrum, I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way, but they can teach you something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that in itself is
no, why I meant like not, yeah. Look, when I said you will learn in some other ways, I meant like you probably would hear it from somebody else, but maybe next year or 2 years after when you can just learn it, you know, right away on the spot.
Speed is everything in the life speed we live right key. Now. Speed is the key.
Wait, so you said when was the last time you like came up with something, well, like a problem occurred, and the only way you could figure it out is through someone else, right?
No.
What did you
not
say?
Not only, but...
Those were your words a second.
I dude, it's okay. When was the last time? Just explain to him. Maybe he misheard you.
No, I have no idea even where I said it. What was saying?
In the very beginning.
In the very beginning.
You were like, and one of the things I could tell, or you said...
When was the last time...
Yeah. When's the last time someone told you something that you had no idea about?
And you would know, but there was something after you said that. You said that you only could find out through them.
I never said that.
That's, we'll have to replay the footage.
Again, I did realize last podcast that I had no idea I said something else. But I'm very positive with this one that I did not say
I'm very positive that you did. And I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. But Capper. Because you don't even know what you're talking about, there's no point in entertaining the conversation.
Capper.
I guess so.
What were you gonna ask?
Well, you guys, I was gonna say, because I thought if that's what he said, then I was gonna say, you know, Google exists for these types of things.
Yeah.
But if that's not what he said, which I guarantee, Google is evil. So I guarantee when we play it back, we're gonna see that is what he said. Then we could have discussed it for another episode. But whatever. Okay. Yeah. So, regardless, though, you're right. It's a great thing to have like those resources available to you that you can really only come through networking. So there is absolutely no objection to anyone as to why they shouldn't be networking. That's just the hardest form of cope I've ever
heard. I mean, you can avoid it, but you really
can't. I just want to mention,
you can try, but
one simple way is, I mean, for my job, you'd be shocked how many community events there are every single year. You'd be absolutely shocked.
How many, Josh?
I mean, where we work in the area that we do, which is only two states, essentially, 600 events a year.
How much?
600 events a year.
Ooh, that's a lot.
That we know of. Yeah, yeah. That we know of.
Yeah.
Okay, so there might be more that you guys
don't. There might be more. So I'm telling you, I don't want to hear that there's no events available. You just don't know. You're not looking the right place.
Yeah, there is also definitely no excuse towards there's no opportunity for me to find these networks. Like, go fucking outside. I don't know what to tell you. There's practically endless everywhere. And after, like, if you evaluated your skill, the beauty of the internet is that once you find what you want to pursue in, like, one of the first things you can do in, like, 5 seconds is join an online community about it.
And dude, anything you want to hear about it, you literally search it up on YouTube. Yeah. And that's, you know, for example, you learn about any salesman or any successful person. Yeah. I mean, that's networking, because you're like kind of meeting them, but you're meeting them online because they're telling you a story of how they started, who they are. And you're kind of meeting them, but like not in person, but online. So they're still networking.
Wait, you know? But are they talking to you?
I wouldn't say that.
The kind of networking we're talking about here is...
Like physical?
Well, yeah, exactly. Like networking.
Like it has to be a conversation towards you and the other person. Okay. Like if you're watching a YouTube video, they're not actually just... Like they're talking me through the screen, but I'm like, they don't hear what I'm saying.
That's actually the content creator is networking, but you as the viewer isn't.
The comments.
The comments.
You're meeting some.
You're not meeting somebody.
To a degree, though, you can network.
You're like learning something from it. So
remember, we would go to what's it called? The events.
I mean, for example, Sam Sulek built a network, but he was a content creator. The people watching Sam Sulek isn't networking necessarily.
Well, Mike has a point. Theoretically speaking, you could network through the comments.
Yeah, you could.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to focus on networking.
Like, you know how we went to
different
the events at your school.
Exactly. We went Roman, better Lance, way. School.
Joe and all those guys. Like that's a physical network. We have to have a conversation with them. We even got them on the podcast. You know, we had different type of conversation that not just on camera, but obviously off camera too, okay, that you wouldn't necessarily have that type of conversation and you wouldn't be able to ask those questions as you would in person, you know what I mean? Because the questions that you probably would ask them but on Instagram, yeah, by DMing them or comments, they probably wouldn't respond. And it's not like you can, you know, sit on the screen and have a conversation with somebody as if you're having it in person. It's just very different. So, plus, I really like how you said, you know, really understanding the concept that you can always learn something from someone and somebody can always teach you something, even if you might be, I would say, looking at them in a way that's, oh, I'm so much better than them, which you shouldn't. That's just what it has to come down to. Because, I mean, even with my clients, when I go to detail, I can just, I mean, I'm there to really do my job and detail their car and leave. However, I really choose to have more of a personal connection with them, have a conversation with them, get to know them. Because, like, these are the type of things where it just really starts from wanting to have more relationships with people, wanting to be more social. And then it just creates so many good things. It creates a bond with your client that you're going to have, like, returning clients. They're going to really spread the word and say, like, this guy's not just good at doing the job, but he's a nice person. He's a good person. Had a good conversation with him. All that kind of stuff. They're going to also understand, like, your perspective on the business and what you want to, where you want to take the business. They will appreciate that. There were so many people that were like, you know, you guys are doing good for working hard. And, you know, they would ask questions like, what are we trying to pursue with this? All that kind of stuff. We would tell them what we wanted, all that kind of stuff. And it's just, it creates a personal connection rather than just, I'm calling you to detail my car and that's it. And for me, I'm coming just to detail your car. It's like, there's more to that. And you will never really know what kind of opportunity that person can give you without having that personal connection in the first place. So that's where networking really comes in.
Yeah, and you leave far more of a memorable impression in person than on the phone. So
exactly, yeah.
That's something to take note of too.
Yeah. Mike, what do you have to say about that?
Because what, networking?
That's the type of thing that really would help you out as well, and I'm pretty sure you've done that too. Maybe not, like we said, maybe you haven't done it more in a way that's person to person, but you've been doing it a lot, especially recently with having calls with people, other content creators.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's networking because you're not really standing in front of them. You're having a call with them and talking live. So
that's, yeah, I mean, what I would say is the more reps that you get in, the better.
Yeah.
So the first ever call I had with someone, I was just so nervous. And even now, it's just like when I hop on a call with someone, like, I still get almost like nervousness.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to the identity I had of myself of being introverted, not really wanting to go out of my way to talk to people and stuff like that. And so having so many calls with people allowed me to just gain more relationships and stuff. Like, I've had actually so many opportunities open up just from people just hopping on calls with people, seeing people are like it, like in my YouTube comments, like, yeah, me and people reach out and stuff like that, people in my DMs, etc. That's how we got on a podcast. Me and Josh were on the Adonis Talk podcast because the networking, the skill of networking.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Shout 100%. Out Jared.
Yeah, shout out
Jared. Hopefully
we can get you on the podcast sometime.
We're
going to put him on the screen on the laptop and the microphone.
No, in person.
He's rebranding. He's going to get that fly out.
He wants to go to Costa Rica with us, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, Jared?
Jared, yeah.
That'd be so fun. He's such a G, yeah.
He travels a lot, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his dad works in Costa Rica. This is a little off topic, but I'll tell you guys after.
Okay.
That motherfucker is such a European. Yeah, no.
He's
networking, really, yeah, undisputable. There's no excuse towards it. There's no objection. This is a must.
Yeah. It's very important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then last one, I mean, discipline, right?
This is a given.
what can be done without discipline, right?
There's a lot of ways to approach this, like discipline towards what, or like discipline in war. How do I even attain discipline, yeah, right? Like, so when we say discipline, there's a lot of other things that we could have, like, replaced this with, but nothing actually tops discipline, because regardless of any skill I want to pursue or whatever, it doesn't matter if I'm not willing to put in the work for it and give it the time.
This is the skill to build other skills.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, this is practically the number one. Like, I can say I want to learn sales all I want. But
before
if
you start that, you have to have discipline.
Exactly. Yeah. Because if I learn sales and I give it a go for like 3 months, but I'm not seeing the results all of a sudden. I understand that I'm not disciplined, and then that skill gets crumbled immediately, right? So this is like Maslow's hierarchy pyramid. This is this is where self-actualization lies, essentially. And there's so many ways to build discipline. This is why it's a great thing. You can go work out, work on your body, whatever. You can go and work on a business. Or like, there's just damn near such an... So there's endless amounts of ways that you can like work on this. This isn't something that has to be achieved through one certain way. No, this is something that can only be found through experience, through you actually putting in the reps, like what you were saying, talking about. And this gives you so much more confidence in building the other skills too. Because once you can build this, you're like, hey, well, I'm practically disciplined in my life, I can bring the skill into the others and then I'll achieve the same thing, right? Exactly. So,
yeah.
It's almost like not even just saying discipline, but just taking the right action towards whatever you're doing, even when you don't feel like it, just taking the right action.
You're willing to, remember that guy said it on Instagram, he said the best discipline is self-love, is because you are willing to show up for yourself and willing to show up for what you do every single day, regardless of how you feel. You gotta love yourself first, then you gotta love like what's around you in order to stick with it. Because if that's not the case, I mean, the question is, why are you even doing it? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and I really want to take this in the aspect of business, because discipline is just very hard for people, not only outside of business, but especially in business, right? It's always the results. What am I getting? Like 2 months and I see somebody on social media already driving a Lambo. I want that. And if I don't get that, that means it's not the right business. It's like, no, you're probably not just at that level, but yeah, you're getting to that. You're really like walking the path. The things that personally came into my business, right? The opportunities such as, you know, Josh making the website, then us doing the ads. Like it was just walking that path, and then the opportunities just open up. And then taking those opportunities, and then there's more opportunities, more and more. And there's just so many things that come with it, just from discipline and just really sticking with it and not giving up too soon. And that's really what discipline teaches you. I mean, go to the gym, stay disciplined, go every day. You don't need to do anything too crazy, obviously, progress, whatever, with weights and exercises. But stick with it, and you will see what discipline brings. And when you apply that to everything else, if it worked in the gym, why is it not going to work in the business? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can even go beyond that and say, like, this is the type of thing that you need when it comes to, like, business terms. Charlie Morgan, when he was starting out his agency, he says that he would do, like, roughly 300 cold calls a day, right? If you're not willing to sit the fuck down for hours and hours on day, and it's, like, despite how you're feeling, or maybe, like, I could take a chill day because I closed a couple clients yesterday, like, that's not how it works, right? He wouldn't have been able to achieve the type of success he has today if he wasn't disciplined through those cold calls, right?
Like, exactly.
You are not, I don't care how motivated you can be, you were not off 300 cold calls.
Because motivation doesn't last too long. Yeah. We all know that.
Your motivation is going to shatter after 20 back-to-back cold calls reject you. Exactly. So, like, you have to be willing to really just stick it out the mud.
Yeah, you got to have discipline. If you don't have discipline, I don't think you have motivation either. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. to some extent, that motivation is just dopamine. This is how I look at it. If you have, like, that instant motivation to the point where the failures will bring you down, then it's just a dopamine hit, and it's just trying to trick your mind saying, oh, I will do this, I will do this, and then convince yourself, oh, I'm the best, and then next thing you know, you get shut down, and you're like, it's what do I do now? Nothing.
It's funny. So, it's like funny too, because when you're visualizing it, you're like, after you get rejected by 20 cold calls, you go on your phone, and you look at TikTok, and you find the motivation, and you're, all right, let me do this again. 20 cold calls, rejected. And it's like just actually visualize you doing that, and how pathetic that sounds. Like, come on.
That's no, now that you said it and I visualized it, that just sounds so crazy. Yeah.
I want to go to a point that you made when you first started talking about discipline, which is you said exactly word for word, there are so many ways of doing so. And that, I think, is what makes this one so difficult in the first place, is we want to become so disciplined in all aspects of life. But I think the central part, especially to start off to learn this skill, is picking one thing to focus on at a time. Because we all want to have the discipline in the gym, in the business, in so many different aspects of life. But I think the orientation is not just, you can't say, I want to be disciplined in business, but picking a certain thing in business to start off being disciplined, right? For example, maybe the cold calling, It may be door-to-door knocking. It may be just shooting 100 cold emails a day. It may be creating 2 hours of content every single morning. Whatever it might be, focus on one thing rather than so many different aspects of discipline to start off. Build that one, then go to the next, and then go to the next. Don't put your eggs in different baskets.
Even with discipline, yeah. It's like I had someone text me. They're like, "Oh, I don't have discipline. I'm not disciplined." I said, "Don't worry about being disciplined. Just make the right decision."
I mean, you're disciplined in itself by living life, right? And what I mean by that is, if you're not disciplined, you're killing yourself. Seriously. Have to stay on this planet. That in itself is discipline, is it not?
Then everybody.
That's a blessing.
Yes, that's my entire point. You have even the most minimal amount of discipline by just waking up and choosing to live on this earth.
Okay, I see where he's going now.
But I want to live on this earth.
But some people don't. Not every day do you say, life is amazing, do you?
No, but I don't want to live.
Well, some people do.
They do that. Yeah, right. They do do that.
So they have discipline. I'm disciplined because I don't kill myself?
Yeah, I think so, no. It may not be much.
I think you're just making the right decision.
Logically speaking, I guess. No, okay, who gives a fuck? Sorry.
My whole point is we all have discipline.
Is it?
So for you to say you're not disciplined, that just means in one certain aspect you aren't. But another you are. You're disciplined to eat every day. Or else you'd die. Right?
No. I just eat because I want to.
Eating is a survival factor.
No, but like, you want to. Like, I'm motivated to.
You might be just using the wrong word here, but the idea really just comes down to, I do see where you're going with it. The word might not be the best word, but it's like it's in our nature to be disciplined in what we want, and we all have some kind of drive where we want to be disciplined in, you know what I mean? That's where it can get mixed up. It's like, what is discipline? Is discipline really doing something that only just feels good and you get dopamine? Is that discipline? It's like making me playing video games every day because I feel good and it's dopamine and it's coping. Is that discipline? Or is discipline me understanding that, it's hard to stick with it, but I'm doing it because it's right, like Mike said, and it's because I know it's going to pay off. You know, because to be disciplined in something usually doesn't, it's not easy. You know what I mean? When you say I'm disciplined in working out, for most of the people, that's not an easy thing to be disciplined in because so many people are not disciplined in it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like discipline comes down to, I think, doing something that you know, and we all know consciously, I mean, that it's right, but we either choose to run away from it or stick with it. And that's why it ties back to the self-love. When you know that something is good, but it's hard, it's self-love that pushes you to stick with it. Otherwise, you would, you know, you don't really love that enough to stick with the hardship of it. You know what I mean? So that's just really comes down to it. And I guess that's probably why you give the advice of just do what's right. Just do it because it's right. And then the discipline comes with it.
Because I feel like with discipline too, people think it's like, you have to be like this person who just is just miserable, who's just struggling, but it doesn't really have to be like that. Like right now, like I don't want to be here. Right, now. I'm tired. I want to be in bed. I'm actually tired. Like,
you
I'm
don't
want
to be with us.
That's so.
I literally would rather be in bed. Like, I'm not gonna lie. That's like, an hour ago, maybe an hour ago, I mean, I was all so cool and stuff. But I have discipline. I'm gonna stay here because it's the right decision.
But I don't want you here now.
You're being disciplined.
You're being disciplined.
I'm disciplining myself. You don't need to do that.
No, I'm using the other discipline now.
Mm. I just want to bring up, like, just something to laugh at. Like,
not that skill. That's the wrong discipline skill.
If we just break down the most simple form, wouldn't, like, being disciplined be doing the things even when you don't want to do them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I was suicidal, I am being more disciplined because I do want to kill myself, but I'm not. And if I do want to live on, then I'm not disciplined because
the way this can get dragged out is insane.
Because if I'm not, like, I don't want to kill myself, but
yo, I think this is when a human mind can rationalize anything. Like, this is really what it comes down to.
Listen, because I'm doing.
I'm trying, bro.
I don't want to do right, so I'm undisciplined. I'll explain that again.
No, I see what you're saying. No. I actually wanted to.
I want him to explain it. I want him to explain it.
Let me explain it. If being disciplined means doing the things you don't want to do, I don't want to kill myself, and I have not killed myself. So, literally speaking, I am undisciplined. Through the example that you brought up earlier with you wanting to kill yourself.
You're undisciplined or you're disciplined?
I'm undisciplined because I don't want to kill myself, right? Okay. But I'm still alive. I haven't gone through with it. I'm not doing the thing I don't want to do. I'm not killing myself. So technically speaking, I'm undisciplined. Based off of the example you're bringing up
earlier. Dude, that's what I'm trying to say.
Dude, you said it the second time, I'm still lost.
He's not disciplined, he's undisciplined. Because if being disciplined means doing the things you don't want to do.
Are you happy that you said this?
There's two segments. Okay, doing the things I don't want to do.
You see,
if I was suicidal, I'm not suicidal right now. I don't want to kill myself. What do I not want to do?
I don't want to kill myself.
What am I not doing? I'm not killing myself. So okay, technically speaking,
you're an undisciplined dude. If that's good, the only thing you wanted to make.
You guys are small-minded.
Very small-minded right now. Because
the same example. He doesn't want to listen to you. He does.
I was disciplined that whole time.
You guys are not listening.
That whole time, I was more disciplined than you ever were.
It's just not something feeble brains can understand, and that's okay.
Is there a skill for that?
You're about to find out. How do we level up
the skill? Pea brain skill. Level 10.
Okay. Quote of the fucking day. Last thoughts?
Yeah.
If all you have is 10% and you give 10%, you still have 100%.
Still.
Guys, give me a break, please.
Bro really wants give to go break, home. Holy shit.
If all you have is 10% and you give 10%, you still have...
Twice.
If all you have is 10% and you give 10%, you still gave 100%.
Hallelujah. Nice, Mike.
Yeah, play the clap. Play the clap.
Yeah, yeah. Which one is
it? I think it's orange.
Yay! Yay! Let's go, Mikey.
That was discipline right there.
All right. Yeah, that was just discipline.
I love that quote.
No, that is a hard quote. Yeah.
No, so true. So
let
true.
Me guess, you picked that?
Yeah, I saw it.
Josh actually said it.
That's a good one.
No author actually, for that?
No.
Josh. It's Josh the guy.
Josh, yeah.
Yo, might as well write it.
Simple.
And then look, shout out.
It's a great quote. It really is. Because... You just interrupt me.
Because, dude, that's discipline right there.
Stop talking.
No, the whole point behind this, and I thought that was a very powerful message, because we try to say when we are at low energy that it's not worth pursuing because I'll only give such little out of it. Like
I'm going 100%
Mike has
I'm trying, guys.
Mike has little
juice.
But you giving all of your effort with the little juice you have is just as powerful as you being at full juice and giving all the effort you can with the full juice.
Amen.
And with that, amen.
Yeah.
You could have put it down so much simpler if you just said that a lot of people look at that and they're like, oh my God, but you only gave 10%. That's not true.
This guy,
I'm on self-improvement. I'm supposed to be on 100%.
Sometimes you're just going to give what you
have to be the ultimate smartass.
I'm supposed
today.
To be perfect,
and
bro.
It's not
I'm not
going
to lie to you, bro. Like what you said, you're just going to
bro, sometimes.
Why can't you not just admire and say,
me
great
personally,
job?
Like I
would have
done a better job
anywhere.
At it, but that's okay. You
do. Okay,
you,
great.
You guys
good
have the
you.
Nicest legs.
Oh, really?
Wait,
thank
who
you.
Even,
I guess. Who do you honestly, think has the best calves?
I completely forgot that was the shout out.
Matt Barba, 393.
Bro, it has to be Sasha.
You're like, what is this guy 100%. Talking about, right, Sasha?
I thought he just looked
yeah,
at my legs
pretty
and
big
said
calves.
You guys have the nicest legs.
No,
but
I,
if we're saying who has
most
like
people here think it's Sasha. I really don't think it's Sasha.
Oh, it is Sasha.
I really don't think
it's
the nicest calves.
Wait, it's gotta come down to jealousy, right?
I don't know. You tell me. I used to bike a lot. Come here. Come bring your pants up.
Yeah, go ahead. Get up.
I didn't see it was me.
Right, dude, he challenged you. Yeah.
It's me.
You're right.
Fuck comment in this. I mean, do I say thank you to this?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
They gave us
thank
a
you,
comment,
you.
Dude. Sash,
you're
so,
trying to deflect.
You're ungrateful, bro.
He's trying to deflect.
Is the heart and emoji was
yeah.
it there, or did you guys
take the compliment? Take the compliment. Take the compliment.
Right. It is a compliment.
You're deflecting. You're coping.
Look, he has a heart.
Next this
to it.
Is one of those. No, because when I gave you a compliment,
cope.
It was a great
cope. Keep
I
coping.
Don't know if this is.
You want to think of it dirty.
Yeah, you know what?
Well, look, he has a heart next to it, so that means it's a compliment.
Thank you.
That's right.
That's a compliment.
You're right.
Yeah. Matt, I appreciate it. Matt, I thought you were better than
Matt Barba.
Look at these. I'm seeing through the mirror.
Anyways.
I think it's time for Josh to go to sleep. So,
nah, bro, that's all him.
Not only Josh, but all of us.
Let's wrap it up, guys. Right?
Eat, sleep, and beat.
I hope you guys enjoy the mics. I really hope you guys enjoy the audio. I really hope you guys enjoy that we have 1,000 subscribers, but it's not for your enjoyment. It's for our enjoyment.
I was like, I swear, if he's going to take it there, but you fucking...
And I hope you guys enjoy this.
But I just...
I'll play the music. What?
Okay.
Oh,
there's
some music. I thought that was the air horn. No. But I just want to say thank you for 1,000 subscribers. Every single one of you does genuinely matter. As much as cliche as it sounds, like, I really do appreciate it.
We really do appreciate it.
If not, you guys.
I mean, just think about it. Like, at a certain point, at a certain time, you know, us four were talking to 1,000 different people. Whether they tuned in for a minute, whether they tuned in for a second, doesn't matter. We had 1,000 people that listened to us even for a second. How grateful of an opportunity that is in itself.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All because of
you. You made it to the end. You're disciplined.
Yeah,
you're
words.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're level 2 now.
If you made it
you're
to the end.
You're networking right now.
And you caught, the guild yet? No. If you made it to the end.
Private.
And you
give a code.
If you give a code BTB10, we will send you our previous mics for free.
Ooh.
What did you say?
Ooh.
If they write in the comment.
They don't end up in the dumpster.
BTB10. In the comment section, they will get our previous microphones for free.
With our autographs on it.
Learn about I don't know about for free, but...
Who the fuck said you can call these types of shots? Josh is never calling shots again.
Hey, dude, I mean, King let's see what happens, decision. Bro.
Yeah,
alright, ready? And with that, ready? Think big, grow big.